Today I'm going to talk about knowing what matters. I'm going to talk about what, when we boil life down, what really matters. And the scripture I'm going to use is from Philippians 3. Now this is Paul writing. He goes, "But whatever gain I had, I counted it as a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish." If you look back at that word, it means dung, which means poop. "In order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead." Lord God, Paul was a man with status. In the Jewish community, Lord, he was a superstar. He was a bounty hunter for Christians. Turn him over, some to their death. And you got a hold of him, Lord. And he could look back at his life, his wealth, his status, his standing, being listed in the who's who's of Jews. And he said, "Man, it ain't nothing. What matters is Jesus Christ." And Lord, I want to address that today. Because when we have trouble spiritually, when we have trouble within the church, it's because of pride. We see it with Adam and Eve. And that raises its head in us. That we want to form who you are rather than you form who we are. So I pray, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear, that we would be encouraged that you have the best way, O Lord. And I pray that you would speak to our hearts and give us ears to hear, Lord God. Let us not only listen, but let us hear what you say to us today, Lord. In your name, amen. You know, I saw a while ago a sad testimony from this person in California where the fires were, that they were given 5 minutes to go in their house and grab what's valuable. What do you grab? Pictures? Food? Pet? Finances? That's a tough thing to do in 5 minutes. And the thing I'm going to look at today is, you know, we got to decide really what matters. And you know what's funny? I find the older I get, what I used to think was valuable really doesn't mean much to me anymore. And what Paul is saying is everything that he looked at in his life, being a highly esteemed man, it was nothing. He lets the readers know in Philippians 3 that personal gain is worthless, that life needs to revolve around Jesus Christ. You know, I quote this a lot, but I love the quote, Charles de Gaulle, "The graveyard is full of indispensable people." You look at the sports, you look at Michael Jordan, retired, greatest basketball player in my opinion ever. The NBA didn't fold. You know, so wherever you are, you're replaceable. To truly value Jesus, we need to learn to devalue ourselves. One of the main things I want to talk about today is the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Yesterday, Melody and I went to the funeral of a friend of ours. They held it at Morsley in Central School. Over 1,000 people went to the calling hours. We waited in line And it was really kind of funky. For an hour and a half, and we never made it to the calling hours. They shut it down, and we went to the funeral. So I'm in the hallway of the school that I graduated from almost 48 years ago. Over 750 people were attended the funeral. This guy was well thought out. If you knew him, you loved him. It's kind of cool. I saw some friends of mine. I saw KB I hadn't seen for 40 years. The thing I remember about KB is we went to Morsel College together, and I remember one night we were playing basketball at the Stuac, and we get done, and on the way home, he goes, "Hey, I want to introduce you to some friends." So we go into this dorm, and he's talking to some girls. He goes, "Hey, what class did you drop today?" And the girl goes, "I dropped Professor Beaumont's class. He is a blankety blank," and she just ripped my dad. So like, "Oh, man," Kevin goes, "Forgive me. Let me introduce you to my friend Dick Beaumont." And she goes, I said, "I know, he's a tough dude." So I'm at this funeral. Not one word of the Bible was said. Not one word. 750 people. How do I know? Because I know the capacity of the auditorium. I looked at the empty seats. I think they used the Savior's name in the opening prayer. And I'm just sitting there going, this is worthless. It's not worthless to honor a life. Please don't get me wrong. Jesus Christ is there for you when you're hurting. You can live the best life in the world. But if you don't got Jesus, your future is terrible. Many of life's problems can be boiled down to one word: pride. You know, Philippians 3, Paul makes a statement that's hard for people to accept. "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ." I know a lot of you have given a lot of things up for Jesus. You see, living for Jesus Christ means you're going to have to sacrifice. That you're going to have to realize what is really important: to be famous, to make oodles of money, to have a ton of friends and have 1,000 people. And then I don't know my friend's spiritual condition. I hope the Lord touched him at the end. But Paul wasn't out to gain fame and fortune. Paul was out for one reason: I am crucified with Christ. I am dead except for Christ, and I'm living for him. So our encounters need to set our priorities in place. You know, I've been doing some research lately on the deconstruction of Christianity. There's a movement. Now, deconstruction is the postmodern process of rethinking your faith without requiring Scripture as a standard. As I said, spiritual problems come down to one thing: pride. What is the deconstruction of the church? Same thing with progressive Christianity. I want to appeal to your senses. You know, as I research and I've been reading and watching videos on the deconstruction movement, you know, there's one guy, I was going to quote him later, but I'll zip ahead. David Haywood, you may know him as the Naked Pastor. It's okay in the deconstructive movement if you become an atheist. It's okay if you become a Hindu. It's okay if you become a Muslim. To thy own self be true. Can I tell you something? That's a crock. Oh, it's okay. It really is okay if you say no to Jesus Christ. You're just going to hell. But what happens is, I don't want to believe the Bible. I'm not going to require the Bible because that makes me uncomfortable. Well, golly gee whiz, get over it. Sometimes saying no to my little grandson for his good, and I'm not Mr. Nice Guy in his eyes. But it comes down to pride. Look at Adam and Eve. Did God really say not to eat that? I want to be in control. I don't like the Bible because it tells me how to live. It tells me what sex I am. It tells me how to live sexually. It tells me there really is a hell. You know why the Bible says that? There really is a hell, which is why Jesus Christ came. Now, Faith in Jesus means we have to stop allowing our emotions to dictate and control us. It's okay to have doubts. I don't have a problem with anybody that questions things in the Bible. Come on, Jonah, are you really kidding me? Or this or that. Yeah, but go to God. Talk to a mature Christian about it. Research it. Because God's word always comes back. There is nobody that's ever researched the scriptures and tried to debate it that has won. Why? Because you can't. It's victory. We can't allow ourselves to let pride to control us. You know, I was talking to somebody, some pastors this week, and I was telling about their project and some of the wonderful feedback I got about it. Some of it was wonderful, some of it was negative. Why? Because you don't like it. Does it matter? Does it matter what this room looks like? Jesus Christ is here! Can I be honest with you? If it mattered where we meet, I wouldn't be meeting here. Don't like the place. It's a money pit, and it's older than I am. But you know what? I learned it's about Jesus Christ. It's about loving people his way. The room doesn't matter. The optics don't matter. Not even the sound matters. What matters is We live according to the scriptures and love people God's way. It's okay for the Bible to make you uncomfortable. That's called conviction. I had somebody tell me once, the pulpit is no place for conviction. Read your Bible, numbskull. That God's truth is gonna, what is John 15 says, God prunes. He cuts out the dead wood. He prunes what's good. So God's going to prune you. He's going to get after you and me, the places that he doesn't like. You know, I don't like everything the Bible says, but I need to trust it and I need to obey it. I like what Francis Chan said. He's a pastor of Chinese descent. He said, if the Bible said Chinese Christians have to stand on their hands, I would hate it, but I would do it because it's the word of God. But I don't feel like it. Okay, don't. Your feelings are liars. Okay? If we let my feelings, like I had a pastor friend of mine was doing some pre-marriage counseling, and I'd never do this again. So why do you want to get married, Tom and Sue? Oh, we love each other. He goes, well, that's a terrible reason. We got to delve deeper into it. And I understand what he's saying, because I've done a lot of weddings, and you do pre-marriage counseling, and they look in each other's eyes, and they have googly eyes and stuff, and they don't understand it. Once you say, I do, it isn't. Oh, it's a honeymoon. It's up for Melody. Hers has been. But you know that once you say, I do, you have ups and downs, and boy, she's here looking at me anyways. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit. That means the God of this Bible is going to speak to you through his word, and he's going to pierce you to your very core because he knows what's best for you. Piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So the first part was, you know what? Our problems really get boiled down to pride. Number two, values are key. Maurice Benson was my English lit professor at Morrisville College. And he used to always quote Oscar Wilde, a cynic is a man who knows the price of everything and the value of nothing. Let's not be cynics. The value of Jesus Christ is worth everything. It's worth everything. And that's what I love about Philippians. Paul knows his life accomplishments are nothing if it doesn't point to Jesus Christ. When you leave this church, we have failed. If there's not a part of this service where you don't look at people, but the living God got a hold of you and spoke to you. That's what it's all about. See, the point is to have as a top priority Jesus Christ and eternity. Matthew 16, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You know, and I was thinking of, after the service yesterday, I was thinking of Dave Prouty's mom. And they know where she's going. They know in the next couple of days she's going to be face to face with Jesus Christ. And I find that to be amazing. I find that to be, yes, sad for the family, but to be amazing. And the thing that I know, you know, like Paul gave Jesus Christ top billing. Everybody here, you're going to be replaced at some point. I'm going to be replaced at some point because it's not about me. You see, Paul examined his life, and he wasn't just shooting hot air. He said, man, it's worthless. The back stuff, man, the past is gone. I'm here for Jesus Christ. I understand the deconstructive movement. I understand progressive Christianity. It makes you feel good to let go of the Bible and to concentrate on yourself. We love us some me. Oh my gosh, if you want to see ego, will you please watch professional sports? You can't even watch a basketball game where a guy shoots a layup for crying out loud and he struts the glory like he's Mr. Amazing. You get paid $15 million to do that, idiot. If you can't put it in the basket, sit on the bench. But it's all about ego. To thy own self be true. That's the empowerment of me. Jesus says in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Oh man, I wish that was said at that service yesterday. Philippians 10 and 11, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. If you got Jesus Christ in your heart and you've committed your life to, you have the power of the resurrected life. You have the Holy Spirit in you. We need to live this way and may share his sufferings. Oh boy, you love Jesus, you're going to suffer. Why? Because you're a Christian. Becoming like him in his death, encouraged yet? That by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. The older I get, the more my body likes to tell me it's not young anymore. I read something online I like. It says, when you're in your 20, you can do everything, whatever, break a leg, you keep playing football. You're in your 30s, you sleep on your pillow wrong, you get a crick in your neck, and you want to go to the hospital. Well, wait till you hit your 60s. Anyways, you know what God's telling me? Don't look at that, look at me. Because he wants to distract me. He wants to distract you. You got financial problems, you got relationship problems. Man, look at Jesus Christ. We need to be living the joy of Jesus. Being a disciple of Jesus means we embrace surrender. The 1970 song by Bachman Turner Overdrive, looking out for number one. Or Ricky Nelson, Garden Party. Can't please everyone, gotta please yourself. Doesn't that sound good? George Harrison, 1975, I had the album. All through the day, I mean mine. Doesn't it feel good to think about you? Doesn't it feel good when people concentrate on you and build you up and tell you how wonderful you are? Why listen to the Bible? It's going to make you feel bad. To thy own self be true, because you're your own God. Well, that sounds ridiculous, but we all gravitate toward that when we hear these things. Let me know how that works for you. Let me know how putting yourself front and center at the end of the day when it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you can't sleep. Let me know how that works for you, because I've been there. Before I knew the Lord, I was a self-centered idiot. I'd wake up in the morning after doing stuff at night and I wish I was dead. And sometimes I wish I had the guts to end it all. But then Jesus Christ got a hold of me, showed me what really matters. The Borgs may have been right, resistance is futile. Now, not to the Borgs. Star Trek, thank you. Star Trek, if you don't know it. Resisting Jesus is futile. Because when you breathe your last, you will say you are Lord. Oh, that's great. But if you don't know him as Lord this side of death, you won't be there long. I'm not threatening anybody. I'm just saying the truth. But I know when I breathe my last, when I become room temperature, well done, my good and faithful servant. I'm going to be with Jesus. First thing I want to do is go hang out for a while with my grandmother. She was my biggest fan. Bedridden for 10 years. Could not steal the joy of the Lord from her. I'd go visit her, and Melody and I, she got to bed, and I got to sit on the mobile commode, which is the toilet. Because Anna Smith, man, she was a spiritual hero to me. She didn't life get her down, and she went through it, believe me. When I got dumped by somebody, my mom said, oh, I understand. She's young. Thanks. My grandmother said, she don't know what she's missing. Oh, man, she's my biggest fan. Make it. Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on. Press on. Doesn't that sound like it's easy street? Not to me. Paul says, press on, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Come on, think about that. Jesus, if you love him, has made you his own. Come on, get excited, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Make it your own. I don't know where you are spiritually today, but in a few moments when I close, I'm going to invite you and ask you to say, Jesus, forgive me. Take the wheel. Come into my life. I'm going to repent. I'm not living that way. I'm living for you. And maybe you've done that years ago, but let's face it, you ain't living that life. And the enemy lets you know you ain't living that life, you dog. But Jesus says, come on, man, my arms are wide open. So come on, just recommit your life to him. It's okay to have doubts and questions. It's okay to get mad in your prayers and to yell at God. He can handle it. But then let him give you his peace. Let him give you his love. Let him show you that he's the way. Don't live in the past, Paul says. Press on. Strain toward what lies ahead. Years ago, believe it or not, I used to be a runner. And I'd run back to the house, and my mom would say, you look miserable when you run. Have you ever seen a marathon with somebody with a smile on their face? I don't think so. Guess what? We're all in a marathon. Resist getting sidetracked by your hardships. You're going to have them, unfortunately. There's going to be things that God does that you do not understand. That's okay. He does understand. You're going to have doubts and you're going to have fears. Talk it out, but please do it with a more mature believer. A lot of times when I was younger and I would talk to somebody who's a peer, they would just appease me and try to make me feel better. But I appreciate people like Pete Mayer, like Wade Smith, like Mike Bartholomew, that they will put their arm around me and at the same time kick me in the backside. Because we need that. Janet Beaumont told Melody and I when she was pregnant with my oldest, you got to love your kids enough to let them hate you sometimes. Ooh. God loves you enough sometimes to let you be mad at him, because he's not going to be part of this world and say, whatever it is you want to do. I'm sorry, I'm not going to be political, but when this last president got in office, hey, the first week we're going to say male and female. And there was an uproar about it. Will you read your Bible? I have made you male and female, but I want to choose how I live sexually, how I spend my money. I don't want to pay taxes. No, you know, but please don't ever expect God to bless you, because God don't bless sin. Search my heart, O Lord. You know, I've done that sometimes, and God has to be faithful. He has to show me where I'm wrong. It happened a couple times a day. Don't get isolated. When you have problems, please talk to somebody. Please. You know, I shared this story before when I've been working here for a few months. I was really going through something, and Peter Mayer was a pastor, and I took him aside, and I got to talk to you about something. And I knew he was going to fire me because I was a sinner. And the devil, I wasn't talking to anybody. And the more I didn't talk to anybody, the worse I felt. So we went across to the park, and I told him, like I said, I'm getting fired. He just laughed. He said, oh, you're struggling? Join the club. Let's turn to God and repent. And you know what that did for me? Now, he didn't say, oh, it's okay to be that way. Then he held me accountable and talked to me about it. See, that's what God does. I'm going to meet you where you're at, but I'm going to take you forward. There's a song, and I might have mentioned it here last week, because I did in home group, I think, forgive me, but it's by Megan Woods, and it's a cute song, and God loves me. I make him proud, and I make him smile. But then she says a word that I hate, the line, and he says, I wouldn't change a thing. You think God looked at Dick Beaumont, August 14th, 1979, and said, I'm not going to change a thing. He said, boy, you ain't seen nothing yet. But in his grace, I went forward. And that's what I love about what Paul's saying is, yes, God, we need to press onward toward the goal of the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In my summary, application, I think I stole that part from Joe when he spoke, but that's okay. The Bible is true. The Bible is true. Why do we every single week tell you to read it? Because you need to read the Word of God so the world doesn't make more sense to you. We live in the world. We're not of the world. Allow God's Word to guide you and to direct you. Pride is the cause of many problems. Value Jesus above everything else. Press on. Be a part of God's community. Let's pray. Lord God, this is kind of a quick message with deep meaning. I love me some me, God. I love to be happy. I love it when my sports teams win. I love it when the sun shines. I love it when I cannot see my breath when I breathe. I love it when I drive Mel's car because it has a seat warmer. You called us to this place, God. How amazing is that? We all want to be happy, and God, you want us to be happy. You're not an old meanie that's going to serve up a bunch of junk to us. But you want us to understand that your way is the way. As Jesus said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. But I know Jesus, good, the demons do and shudder. To know him means, I know you're the Son of God. I know you died for my sins. I know I'm a sinner. I need to repent, which means give up my old life and live for you according to your word and to ask you into my life. When I did that on that day, Lord God, instantly I had a new identity. You looked down and you saw your Son in me. And I got entrance into heaven. Lord, we're human beings. We all have opinions. Let us hold loosely to our opinions, Lord. Let us value Jesus Christ. Let us not try to form people to fit our molds, but let us be flexible, Lord. And I find, Lord, the older I get, that's a challenge. And I thank you for being so faithful to me that you're not against showing me my errors and where I need to change. It's painful, Lord. But I love the testimony of Paul, the person he was before, and the power that he became afterward. And he wasn't out to make a name for himself, because he said he was crucified in you. It's no longer he who lives, but Jesus Christ in him. Let that be the cry of our heart, Lord God. At the end of our days, we don't need accolades. We need testimonies of how our lives pointed people to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Father, I do pray for everybody in this room. Maybe right now there's anybody here that doesn't have a personal relationship with you, because you're not about religion. That's man's way. You're about relationship, which is God's way. Let them right now say, Jesus, I need you. And God wants to encourage some of you that have known him for quite some time, but your heart isn't where it used to be. Maybe you're in the dry season, but God goes, man, I got you. Just turn back to him. And if you've really been struggling, I would really challenge you before you leave today to just have somebody pray for you. We're not called to be isolated. We're not called to try to make it on our own, because that never, ever, 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 ever works. God called his people to community. And right now, New Covenant Community Church is our community. That's where God has called us. So Lord, help us to put you first. In the seasons when we don't understand, Lord, let us just cry out, I believe, help thou my unbelief. You're not threatened by that prayer, Lord. You always answer it. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for who you are and for what you're doing. And Lord, I just surrender my life to you, and I pray everybody in this room would utter the same thing to you, Father God. Be glorified today in your name. And they all said, amen. Press on.